welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. It's 5 years now since we saw the abolition of the default retirement age, but what impact has its removal in fact had on employers? When the rule changes were being brought in, concerns were raised around older workers being performance managed out of work and the cost of keeping older workers on. Well, with me today to discuss these and other retirement-related issues is Principal Employment Law Editor Stephen Simpson. So Stephen, take us back to 5 years ago. What happened?
So as you said, it's now been 5 years since the default retirement age was abolished. Prior to that, employers were allowed to retire employees at 65, provided that the statutory retirement procedure was followed.
Just briefly, remind us what that procedure involved.
So the procedure required employers to give notice of retirement and employees could request to work on past retirement. There had to be a meeting to discuss a request, followed by a decision from the employer about whether or not to go ahead with the retirement. And there was an appeal process too. Only then could the employer retire the employee.
So looking at how the law has moved on since then, we come to October 2011. Why was that date important?
So the new rules actually came into force in April 2011, but there was then a 6 month period where employers that had already begun the procedure could continue on with it. Employees couldn't be retired under the procedure if they reached 65 on or after 1st of October 2011.
Given that's the case, what's the position now?
So since then, there's been no default retirement age. Older workers can still, of course, voluntarily retire at the time of their choosing, typically when they get their pension. So the prescriptive procedure has been replaced with a freer approach that should allow employers to discuss employees' retirement plans in the run-up to the big day.
So are there any circumstances where employers can still require employees to retire at a particular age?
So there are limited circumstances. To have what's known as an employer-justified retirement age, the employer would have to objectively justify it. In other words, the retirement age would have to be a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate aim.
And that's certainly a familiar concept in discrimination legislation. Can you give us an example of a retirement-related justification?
So I think the main likely valid justifications are likely to relate to fitness and safety. For example, we've seen cases involving justifying compulsory retirement ages for pilots.
Yes, and you can see how those arguments could arise. So what do you think the main issues have been since 2011?
So I think there's been four, really. So firstly, how managers address the possibility of retirement with the employee. Secondly, performance management of older workers. Thirdly, justifying keeping a retirement age. And then fourthly, issues around the cost of keeping older workers on until they retire.
Okay, so let's take those in turn. Do managers find it difficult to address the issue of retirement?
So there isn't normally an issue if the employee wants to retire, but we've seen examples of cases in which managers have put inappropriate pressure on an employee to retire.
And why might a manager or a business owner do that?
So I guess it could be as a result of a stereotypical view that the manager has that retirement is still automatic at 65, or sometimes you see cases where the employee has been somewhere for a long time, or perhaps everyone else in the team is a lot younger, so the older worker is seen as an outsider. And then you've also got the outdated idea in some professions like sales or IT that it's a young person's game, and that's unfortunately still present in some workplaces.
Can you give us an example from the case law?
So a good example is the case of Zubak and LX Engineering North Limited, and that was a successful tribunal case that included pressure to retire.
So what happened in that case?
So the claimant was a senior project manager who was coming up to his 65th birthday. During regular meetings, the managing director would ask him things like, "You're coming up to your 65th birthday, you're going to be retiring, aren't you? And also, it'd be really helpful if you retired," was another thing that he said.
Right, okay. And had the claimant actually said anything about retiring?
So he did accept that he'd suggested to his employer that he was thinking about retiring, or at least reducing his hours, but he denied the suggestion. They said he was definitely retiring.
And did he in fact retire?
No, he was subsequently made redundant and successfully claimed in the tribunal that his selection for redundancy was because of his age.
And presumably the insensitive nature of the managing director's comments were relevant.
Yeah, they were really strong evidence of an ageist motive for his redundancy. It's also just interesting to note in that case that the employer's age profile was used as evidence. So in this case, 1/3 of the employer's staff was under 40 and only 2 out of 42 employees were over 60.
It's very interesting to see that the age demographic in the workplace can create an impression. So that's the first issue. What about the second issue, performance management?
So I remember when the rules were changing in 2011, one of the things that kept coming up was that employers were concerned that they were going to have to deal with the massive extra task of performance management of older workers.
And has that happened?
So certainly not as far as I can see from looking at tribunal cases. We just haven't seen cases where older workers are hanging on to their jobs and employers are having to performance manage them out because of obvious poor performance.
And can you give us any examples at all from the case law?
So we have seen cases where employers have used poor performance as an excuse to get rid of an older worker.
So basically an ageist attitude hidden as a performance issue. Can you give us an example of one of those cases?
So the best example I can think of is the first instance tribunal case in Dove and Brown and Neuwirth Limited, in which a 60-year-old salesperson was dismissed.
And what was the employer's purported reason for dismissal?
So the claimant's managers had meetings with him during which it was suggested that customers weren't happy with his supposedly old-fashioned and out-of-touch approach.
And he was dismissed for this reason?
Yes, so accounts were gradually taken away from him and given to younger account managers. He was then dismissed purportedly on the basis that there was no work left for him that he was capable of performing.
And he brought an age discrimination claim?
Yes, and in fact he won that hands down. So the tribunal concluded that he was dismissed because of his age and that a younger salesperson wouldn't have been dismissed. In fact, he was awarded over £63,000.
Right, okay, so that's a cautionary tale for employers, not least I suppose that comments from customers shouldn't simply be adopted and left unchallenged by an employer. So performance management, or perhaps we should say purported performance management, of older workers can be a problem for employers.
Yes, I think this case shows that the problem comes when managers use underhand methods to get older workers out of the business without following any kind of fair procedure. So typically the manager will dress it up as something else, for example, redundancy.
So moving on to the third issue you mentioned, the employer justified retirement age.
Again, this was discussed a lot in 2011, but I'm not sure it's been a big issue in the end.
And why do you say that?
So simply because most employers didn't keep their retirement age. In expert HR research from 2013, we found that just 4 out of 138 employers who responded retained a defined contractual retirement age. So that's just 3%.
Okay, so it's interesting to see that it hasn't in practice turned out to be the issue that it was perhaps first thought to be. So what sort of employers do retain a retirement age?
So they tend to be where employers have jobs with high levels of fitness needed. For example, one of the four from our survey was a police service that had a retirement age of 60 in line with the police pension regulations. And another good example is firefighters in the UK who have a retirement age of 60.
And have we seen any cases on compulsory retirement ages?
We have had several European level cases such as Prigg and Deutsche Lufthansa, in which the ECJ held that a retirement age of 60 for pilots of the German airline could not be justified on safety grounds.
So I suppose it just goes to show how high that evidential burden is, given we're talking about a profession where physical capability is key. Have any justifications other than fitness been argued before the courts?
So the other main one that comes up relates to workforce planning, and that's also known as intergenerational fairness. So that's basically an employer saying that it wants older workers to retire so that younger workers can come up through the ranks and replace them.
And has that been argued much before the courts?
No, unfortunately not. Although this was raised in a seminal UK case, Selden and Clarkson, Wright and Jakes, about the retirement of law firm partners, which ultimately resulted in the abolition of default retirement. In that case, the Supreme Court accepted this was a potentially legitimate aim. It's not really been applied in subsequent cases.
Okay, so what's your overall impression of employer-justified retirement ages in the UK?
I guess to summarise that they're only really likely to be justified in exceptional cases. Any retirement below, say, 60 is now almost impossible to justify, I'd say. Higher retirement age is probably easier to justify. For example, Sweden has successfully justified its default retirement age of 67 in the European courts.
Okay, so turning now to the fourth and final issue you mentioned, and that was the cost of keeping older workers on.
Yes, so we've seen cases where employers have taken decisions to dismiss older workers in a way that saves money.
And can you give us any examples?
So I think there's two key cases here. In Woodcock and Cumbria Primary Care Trust, the trust timed the redundancy of a senior employee so that he would leave before he became entitled to a windfall of at least £500,000 by taking early retirement.
And what did the courts make of that?
So the Court of Appeal rejected his age claim, which is perhaps surprising given the well-established principle that discrimination cannot be justified by cost savings alone. The case, however, I think is somewhat extreme given the huge amount of money the trust was saving, and also the court took into account that the trust had previously really bent over backwards to keep him on for as long as it did.
So one perhaps that needs to be viewed within the context of its own particular facts that were somewhat broader than cost alone. And what's the second example?
So that's Harrod and Chief Constable of West Midlands Police. Their police officers challenged what's known as the A19 rule under the police pension regulations. This allows police forces to require a police officer to retire in the general interests of efficiency after 30 years service and once entitled to a pension of 2/3 of pensionable pay.
And what did the courts decide in Harrod?
So although the police officers won their employment tribunal claim, on appeal the EAT dismissed their claim, mainly because the police forces were under huge pressure to cut costs and had run out of other ways to do so. Plus the scheme was targeted only at officers who were doing well out of it financially, either were already entitled to a decent pension.
Okay, so do you think these cases are part of a trend?
As you already mentioned, I think they're both fairly fact-specific, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see more cases on the tension between, firstly, older workers' right to stay in work, and secondly, employers' needs to cut costs, with older workers generally being the higher earners. There are cases, in fact, in the Court of Appeal in early 2017, so that's definitely a case for employers to look out for.
Absolutely, and as ever, we'll keep the site updated as the case progresses. Thanks very much, Stephen, for a really interesting and informative review of the key issues around retirement. There's plenty of material on the site to help you manage the various aspects of retirement. A good starting point is the precedent retirement policy and procedure, and to guide line managers through the process, we have a specific line manager briefing on retirement. So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.